Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. We are down to the last minute here, and if you're looking for that perfect gift to get your favorite online friend or somebody in your family that is heading down to Walt Disney World or out to Disneyland this next year, how about going with a premium subscription to touringplans.com? You're just going to need $12.95 in their email address, and you're going to ensure that they're going to have a better trip when they go on their Disney vacation. You can help save them up to 4 hours in line each day of their Disney vacation, and you're going to give them the flexibility and the information they need to know that they're going to have a great experience once they arrive at their Disney destination. It's really a thoughtful gift because you're thinking about them having a great trip to one of their favorite places. Check them out today and support the folks who support us, especially during this holiday season. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 796 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and hopefully, you know, maybe you're off this week for Christmas. I wish that for you, and, you know, I'm a school teacher, so we are kicking back here, enjoying that we had our live show last night, and that, you know, I finished my last marathon training run this past Saturday, hopefully, with my 26-mile run, and getting ready for marathon weekend coming up here in 3 weeks down at Walt Disney World and getting ready for a great time. But as always, we're here on a Monday talking trip reports. And today we're going to head out on the Disney Cruise Line. Nothing better than, you know, thinking about the warm breezes of the Caribbean here a couple of days before Christmas. And today joining me, we have a great friend of the show from right here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to talk about his honeymoon on the Disney Fantasy. We have Dan Grody joining us, and glad to have you on the show here today, Dan. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, no, thank you for giving me the time, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and, you know, getting excited for a big Mizzou win down in the Citrus Bowl here on January 1st.
Yes, wish I could go. It would be perfect this time of year.
You know, I've gone to a bowl game before, actually in Shreveport, which is a and I hope we don't have a lot of listeners in Shreveport, but it wasn't the most desirable destination to end up in a bowl game. But, you know, this year we get Orlando, and of all years, I'm running at marathon weekend. So what that would mean is if I go to the bowl game, since I don't fly, it would require about 4,500 miles of driving in 10 days. So unfortunately, not going to make it to the Citrus Bowl, but I'll be watching at home and hoping the guys get to go to Walt Disney World while they're there.
That'd be a pretty good gift for him.
All right, so let's stop talking Mizzou football. I know we're you know, losing a few people here, I'm sure, but we love talking about it here in the Show Me State. But let's talk about your honeymoon. So when did you guys get married, and why'd you decide to sail with Disney Cruise Line?
Well, we actually got married in April of 2014, and forever we've wanted to go on a Disney cruise. It's been one of the things that we've always wanted to check off of our list, and we thought this would be the perfect opportunity. We didn't really have a big wedding. We actually kind of got eloped in downtown St. Louis. So we thought we would use our quote wedding money right for the honeymoon.
Hey, that's smart. You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah. Because, you know, how often would we get to go on a cruise like this? And we thought it'd be the perfect opportunity. And we've always wanted to go on the Fantasy. So it's kind of a no-brainer that this would be the perfect opportunity for it.
So now this was your first cruise for both of you?
Yes, we had never actually been out of the country, either one of us, so we got to check two things off of our list this trip.
Now, let me just tell you, because, you know, I hear you. You went on the Fantasy. You went all in right off the bat, like the best experience there is with one of the best cruise lines in the world. But one caveat to that, it's really hard to do anything else from now on. It's going to be tough.
You know, that's what we're thinking. We're actually going to go on a vacation to Disney World next Thanksgiving with my entire family. And one of the options was to go on a cruise instead. And I was really pushing for the cruise, but the Disney World portion of it actually won out with the family. So maybe in 2016, I'll go again.
Yeah, that's a good thing, is you can always look ahead and plan for that next cruise vacation, because as fun as Walt Disney World is, I'm still of the mindset that a cruise is the best Disney experience out there. Now, it's, of course, it's the most pricey, so you have to make it a lot less frequent than you can going down to Walt Disney World or Disneyland. But there's something to be said for the level of service and the escapism of a Disney cruise, don't you think?
Oh, it's the absolute best. Kelly and I, to this day, we still talk about how we were treated like royalty those 7 nights. It was just every cast member on that ship treated us like we were, you know, first class. It was the best.
So now talk to us about the planning of the cruise itself, being somebody who had never sailed, because I know that, you know, once you've gone on a couple of cruises, you kind of know the lay of the ships and how dining works and, you know, stateroom choices. You've got some visual, you know, points of view of what you're kind of getting yourself into. But you guys were going into this never having set foot on a cruise ship or even a Disney Cruise Line ship. So walk us through your expectations and your planning and how that came out for you.
We actually, you know, we wanted to go all out. So obviously a veranda was our biggest, you know, our big one. And the 7 night part on the Fantasy was perfect. And, you know, to plan, we, of course, listened to the BR Guest podcast. We listened to any podcast we could get our hands on. So the Lou Mangello's podcast and the WDW Today, I think they had a few cruise episodes we listened to. Did a lot of research online, and we felt ready to go because we actually planned this cruise way back in January of 2014. So we planned it out 9 months in advance. So we did a lot of research prior, and then right after we booked it, we started looking at excursions on the Disney website. And then we booked it, and we just couldn't stop counting down. You know, we got the cruise line app, and every day we kept looking, oh, you know, it's 200 days away, 199 days away. And it finally got here, and we were so ready to go.
So you guys sailed, though, in September 13th through the 20th, that 7-night Western Caribbean run. And, you know, one of the things about Disney Cruise Line and cruising in general is that early September is a great time to go if you can. You know, of course, I can't, being a teacher, and a lot of people can't because of kids, but that's a great time to go. Low rates and a lot of availability for those cruises. So what was your experience for that time window?
It was actually perfect. That's, you mentioned the two key reasons that we wanted to go in that time. We thought it would be a little less crowded, you know, because schools had just started. You know, parents probably wouldn't pull their kids out the second or third week of school. That's pretty early. And for our budget, it worked out best. You know, obviously going in the middle of summer would have been fun. Going, you know, around this time of year, around Christmas time, would be cool to see all the decorations. But we thought it was a perfect time. You know, I could get off work and make it all happen. So it was definitely a good time to go. I know a lot of people are kind of worried that time of year about hurricanes, but luckily for us, the weather was perfect every day.
Yeah, it's one of the things with the hurricanes. I know a lot of people here, you know, September, October, even late August, and you get a little worried. But I, you know, to me, and again, this is just my personal opinion, a hurricane's kind of a crapshoot. You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Obviously, you have better chances of it not happening if you sail in February. But hurricane season's six months long. So I think, you know what, you just book it to, you know, where you have the best availability, where you can get that stateroom and maybe the price point you're looking at, and just kind of hope for the best.
I 100% agree with you on that.
All right. So you'd mentioned your stateroom with the veranda. What was your expectation and how did that work out for you guys on this cruise?
Oh, it was perfect. You know, talking to my parents and sisters, they've been on cruises before and they had verandas the majority of the time that they've gone sailing. And I'm a very morning person. So I thought, you know, it'd be the coolest thing to wake up, walk outside and watch the sunrise from the veranda. And I did that almost every morning, all but one of the mornings I was up in time. And, you know, being, you know, like you always say, being from the middle of St. Louis, where else can we do that from?
That's so true.
You know, it was,
it's a lot better than seeing the Mississippi River from the arch.
Agreed. It's, you know, seeing that, just nothing but water ahead of you with the sun rising is just something that, you know, if I go on another cruise, I probably won't get to have that luxury again.
I don't say that. You gotta dream. That's what we all do here. Let's don't crush dreams.
That's true. So next time I go, I will have that veranda, and it will be on the concierge level.
That's right. Go big or go home. That's it.
Right.
All right. So talk to us about arrival at the port, because there's nothing, and I still say this, and I still feel this way. You know, we're sailing again on the Dream in July. So many friends, but there is nothing like that first glimpse of the ship and then arriving at the port where you're not even on the ship yet, but that whole cruise is in front of you. And like you've already mentioned, you've been counting this down for, you know, the better part of a year. What's that arrival like and getting on board the Fantasy there?
It was so much fun because we actually stayed with, I have a sister and brother-in-law who live in the Orlando area. So we stayed with them the Friday night before we left, and then they drove us to the port on Saturday. And, you know, we were making that drive, and then my sister said, you know, look out the window. So, you know, of course we look out the window and we saw the ship, and it was like, wow, it's a lot bigger in person. And, you know, then the closer we got, you know, the excitement just built and built and built until we, you know, they dropped us off at the curb and we went through security and whatnot. And then just to see how nice just the, you know, the little terminal was, it was awesome. And Mickey Mouse was right there taking pictures. And, you know, our check-in time wasn't until I think 1:30, but we got there way early, you know, just to soak it all in, because, you know, what's better than sitting in the terminal at that point? You know, I couldn't do anything at the parks that morning, so we thought we would wait around. And once we got checked in, we were on the ship probably by about 12:15, so at least an hour before we were supposed to. And that was really nice. I don't know how often that happens or if we just got lucky, but that was a really nice way to get on the ship. And then, you know, and as many of the listeners probably know, how they greet you on the ship, you know, walking through, you know, it gave me chills. It was, you know, that one moment was like, okay, the honeymoon started, the vacation's here. You know, everything that's going on outside of the ship doesn't matter right now. We're on our honeymoon. We're on the cruise.
That's it. And I think, you know, I think Disney does such a great job with just that simple announcement, announcing you onto the ship, that it really does kind of give you a ceremonial, this is your vacation now. And they make you feel like you're the most important person on that ship of, you know, with cast and crew and guests, you know, 4,000 people on that ship. But for that moment in time to start your vacation, this entire voyage is all about you.
Right. And they continue that not only from that start, but the entire way through. And I think that's, you know, I've obviously never been on a different cruise, but I think that might set them apart from other cruise lines.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I've sailed Royal, and I really am a big fan of Royal, just because of the value you get for your dollar. You know, it's not as expensive, and you get a very nice cruise experience. So I have no problems with the Royal Caribbean, but Disney Cruise Line is just over the top. I mean, it's like you said, from that point on, it's like you're a king. It's incredible.
It was.
All right, so you guys sailed Western Caribbean. So, you know, the Fantasy kind of alternates every other week. It'll do Eastern and Western. And I've sailed the Western Caribbean 3 times, still have yet to do Eastern just because of how schedules have worked out. I want to do Eastern, but I haven't gotten to yet. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the ports, Western Caribbean. You guys did Cozumel and Grand Cayman and went to Jamaica and Castaway Key. So maybe some highlights from those ports for people that are sailing Western, maybe some things to think about.
Okay, yeah. Our first stop on the Monday of the cruise was actually in Cozumel, Mexico. And going in, we each picked a excursion that we wanted to do. And mine was actually in Cozumel. And it was the beach break excursion. It was a speedboat ride out to a private island with food and beverage included, a lunch included, and drinks all for the price. And to get out there, you actually get on this small speedboat. I think it fit 24 people, 20 or 24 people. And, you know, it was like what you see on ESPN overnight, you know, like the crazy boat tricks that they do. So, you know, like 360 turns, sudden starts and stops. It was a lot of fun. Just a word of warning, if you do that excursion, you can't wear sunglasses or goggles on the boat, on the speedboat itself, when they're doing all the tricks. Salt water got in my eyes and I couldn't see for an entire day. Like, I was just squinting. My eyes were burning the entire day. So make sure you don't bring contacts and have contacts ready for you on the boat. Bring multiple contacts on the cruise.
Now, did they mention why you can't wear like goggles or something like that, protective?
Well, I think for the sunglasses, they didn't want you to wear them because they could fly off. Because you know, the type of tricks that we were doing. They didn't really mention anything about the goggles. They just said, no eyewear.
That's crazy. Sounds fun, but nuts.
And also, the food that you get on the Fantasy is so much better than you get on that one. That was the only downside to that excursion was the food. Kelly and I joked that food probably would be, you know, if it was like an American restaurant, it would have been shut down by the FDA that day.
You can't think about it that way when you're in Mexico. I'm telling you, I will say that I feel the exact same way on all the cruises. I'm like, you know, I've already paid for the food on the ship, you know, and it's way better than anywhere else, except we had such a hankering for Mexican food that when we went to Paradise Beach in Cozumel one time, they had such great just Mexican food. It reminded us of back home that we just ate it up. Because that's one thing cruises tend to not have is Mexican food, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, they really didn't. I think on the Pirate night, they might have had some sort of buffet, but we didn't eat that night because we went to Palo. But yeah, no Mexican food to speak of. You're right.
All right, so let's talk about some of your other ports. You guys went to Grand Cayman, Jamaica, and Castaway Key. So, you know, maybe some highlights from those places.
Okay, Grand Cayman, we actually only got off for about an hour and a half. We didn't really have anything planned that day. So on that day, we just stayed on ship, let all the people who needed to get off the boat and tender, you know, who actually had excursions to make, we didn't want to get in their way. So we stayed on the ship as virtually empty that day, which was pretty nice. And then we got off and we actually went to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville because we didn't know where else to go. A familiar name.
That's where I went too.
Yeah, and we liked it. You know, the theme, we've been to the one at that other Orlando property before. And so we thought, you know, we'll give it a shot here. We liked it. It was kind of pricey. We weren't expecting it to be that much, but you know, the environment was nice and the bartender was really nice.
Now, did you go down the slide into the big pool?
We did not. We did see it and take pictures of it, though, but we didn't actually partake in that adventure.
Yeah, I think you have to have a few before you do that. And it's more fun to be, you know, if you're not a drinker, just to watch the people that are having too many just go down the tube. And it's like, is this a good idea? I don't think we could do this in the States.
No, probably not.
Awesome. So what about Jamaica? Because Jamaica is one of those places that, you know, and I read a lot and help a lot of folks plan vacations, and Jamaica can be a place that maybe is not the safest destination of all the Caribbean islands, but, you know, it's Disney. They want to keep you safe. So what'd you do there?
We actually, that was our second excursion. The one that Kelly chose was called Rafting the Martha Bray River. It was a bamboo raft tour of a river that went through the, some historic places in Jamaica in the Falmouth area. That was really nice. We really enjoyed, you know, it was like probably about a 45 minute, just sit back and relax. You had your own personal captain and you just went down on a bamboo raft down in the middle of Jamaica. And it was as relaxing as it sounds. Got a lot of great pictures. Kelly actually got to pilot the boat for a few minutes. So that was kind of fun.
You know, Jamaica is a beautiful island. Let me just tell you, because I've been there a few times on different cruises. And the thing is, like I said, I mean, it's got a reputation as not being as safe as some of the other destinations. And I know that, you know, the ships used to go to Montego Bay was pretty much their port of call. And now they go to Falmouth, which is, and you probably notice this, it's a very new port. I mean, everything around the port is being built up. And right. I think that it's in the mind that we got to keep these tourists safe as possible. And you see almost big security fences around the port and it's very guarded and it's very, and it's got that kind of straw market feel where you can buy the local vendors' wares and so forth. I mean, it's neat to see that they're trying to keep the ships coming to Jamaica, but at a new destination, you know, away from maybe Montego Bay, like in the past.
Right. Yeah. We definitely noticed that, you know, right when you get off the ship, you go through security to get onto the island and, you know, that area right there is so nice, that new port area. And then, you know, just outside is where I can see where people might be a little nervous, you know, not to go out on their own. You know, if you stay with a group, you know, a tour group or whatever, you probably feel a little more safe.
It's kind of like being on The Amazing Race going around, you know, even with your tour group on Jamaica or Mexico, it's fun for a kid from St. Louis. I can tell you.
I agree.
So let's get over to Castaway Key. Then we're going to talk about all the stuff that happened on the Fantasy because she's kind of the crown jewel of this trip. So, you know, Castaway Key, beautiful private island. We talk about it quite often on the trip. You guys did the Castaway Key 5K, which I love. And you mentioned that it was hot. Let me tell you what, that is like running through a jungle with heat stroke. I've been there, and it is, because I've done it in July. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if we'd have survived doing it in July. We're not big runners. I mean, we'd like to run. The most we've done is a 10K. We're hoping to do more in the future. But, you know, we couldn't pass up doing the 5K. You know, I know you've recommended it before, and I think a lot of other podcasts have also said, you know, why not do it? And it was nice running through the island because it's just so beautiful. But man, it was hot. It was just brutal.
Doesn't it look like yeah. I've passed this palm tree like 17 times already. I you start to lose bearing like of where you are because you're literally like almost in a jungle.
You are. Like that double loop that you have to do, I guess just by the runway. I'm picturing it in my mind, and I just felt like I was never getting out of that loop.
Nice. So any other highlights from Castaway Key?
Oh, it's just, if it would have stopped there four times, it would have been perfect. You know, if that was our only port, it was just so nice and relaxing going to the Serenity Bay and not thinking about anything. Just sitting back in the beach chairs and doing nothing. It was just glorious.
It's, you know, and again, we're both from the Midwest, from St. Louis, and you know, I think that people that maybe grow up on the coast where they get to see the ocean maybe a few times a year, you know, and kind of grow up with that environment of getting out there and seeing the ocean, the waves and the sounds of it all, and the even the smells of the salt water. Like, you know, when you're from someplace like we are, you can really appreciate that time. And it goes so quickly on Castaway Key that it's just like you're sitting in a three-dimensional postcard there for a day. And it's unbelievable. It's the beauty of it is just you can't fathom it.
Oh, incredible. It was just incredible. You're 100% right. And I know you mentioned it earlier, you know, looking over and seeing the ocean water instead of the Mississippi mud, you know, being able to see all the way down to the bottom in Serenity Bay was just incredible. I mean, I'm scared of fish, which sounds really weird, but fish really freaked me out. So I was a little freaked out when I actually went in the water, but I was quickly calmed down once I realized, okay, I'm at Castaway Key. This is okay.
These are nice fish. Actually, I did see a barracuda there one year, so be careful.
You know, people actually said that, you know, when the 5K was going on, I guess people got over to the beach really early, like towards the end of the 5K, because we obviously didn't come in first place. But they said that they did see two sharks out there, and that's why I was so hesitant to actually get in the water. But
It was probably Bruce and, you know, somebody else from, you know, one of those movies, Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. You know, they're Disney sharks. They wouldn't do anything.
That's it. They're friendly sharks. They, right. You know, that's Castaway Key. They know that.
Right.
Interesting. All right. So let's head back to the fantasy. And, you know, again, the kind of the crown jewel of the Disney Cruise Line fleet. Let's talk dining for a second. You mentioned you guys did a night at Paolo there, which is definitely some specialty adult dining, but in general with a rotational dining, looking back on it now, you got a few months hindsight, what do you remember as being some of the highlights of the dining on the Fantasy?
Oh, every night was just you know, amazing food. It was, I don't think we had one bad meal at night. And you know, in case of some of the listeners out there don't know, if you're a couple, if you're only, you know, two people going, chances are you're going to sit with another couple. Which we knew going in, you know, listening to podcasts and talking to my sister and family, we knew going in that we were going to share a table with somebody else. And we understood that the people who we actually sat with did not know that going in. So the first night at dinner was incredibly awkward because she actually complained to the waiter twice about it. Oh, so man.
That's weird because, I remember on our honeymoon, we sailed with Royal, but we were in the same situation, but even after the very first night at dinner, like we ran around for that whole 7-night cruise together. Like every night after dinner, we were out at the clubs together. We instantly bonded. It was really a weird, weird thing. I mean, but I hear that happens quite often.
Yeah. And you know, after the first night of awkwardness, it was fine. You know, we met them down at the Europa District a few times and talked to them. We actually thought we were doing the same excursion in Cozumel, but they were doing a slightly different one. But no, that was, you know, the rotational dining was really nice. A new place every night was welcoming because, you know, you go on a ship and you think, oh, man, I'm going to be sitting here all 7 nights. But I know Kelly really, really liked the Enchanted Garden. She said that was her favorite meal outside of Paolo.
That's interesting because a lot of people kind of, you know, I tend to hear like Royal Court and I tend to hear Animator's Palette because, you know, Animator's Palette has that, the show component to it, one of the nights of the cruise. And I think a lot of people like Royal Court because maybe it reminds them of like being in Cinderella or Cinderella's Royal Table or the castle at, you know, Magic Kingdom or something like that. Enchanted Garden's kind of understated, but it's beautiful and, but it tends to not get the same buzz. So it's kind of interesting that Kelly would say that.
Yeah, I think she really liked it more for the food she got that night. And for, you know, it wasn't, the way our table was situated at that one, it was kind of not away from everyone because we were like right on the center aisle, but it seemed more, I don't know how to put it. I guess the environment was kind of more calm than Animator's Palette because Animator's Palette can get kind of crazy. But I liked Animator's Palette the most personally. But yeah, the Enchanted Garden, I think just the, I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but the lights and the pedals on the lights and everything like that was just such a nice touch.
Yeah, lots of details to see in that restaurant.
Definitely. And the fountain, we were right by the fountain too. And that was, you know, a nice feature to look at.
Now, do you guys get one of those booths? Because, like, I'm always jealous. We never get one because, obviously, we're a big family. And a lot of times we go with a group of 150 people when we sit right. With the podcast crew. So the booths are pretty much out because we try to all, you know, get a section of the restaurant. But I'm always jealous. Like, I want one of those booths someday.
We actually, you know, if you walk in, we had the third booth on the right.
Oh, nice.
And it was so nice. It was, you know, it was a nice change of pace from, you know, the normal table.
Cool. Now let's talk entertainment here for a second because there's lots of great, you know, Broadway style shows going on this ship and especially on a seven nighter because you get a wide variety of, you know, not just the signature shows that Disney Cruise Line puts on, but they bring in some, you know, kind of, they got to fill seven nights worth of stuff. Sometimes it's a feature movie in 3D in the main theater. Sometimes it might be a comedy act, but plus you have stuff, like you said, going on in the adult areas with, you know, all kinds of contests and game shows and, you know, classes where you can learn how to fold towels, you can race potatoes. There's all kinds of stuff going on in these ships. So looking back, what were some of the highlights of the entertainment for you guys?
Oh, there's so much to do. On our very first night, we did what was called Match Your Mate down at the Tube.
Nice. That's crazy. I'm glad you guys did that.
Oh, they actually did it two nights and we wanted to do it the Thursday night too, but we were just too tired. And, wanted to get up early for the 5K, but that first night we did the Match Your Mate and it was hilarious. I recommend that to anyone going on the cruise.
Now, were you guys in the show or did you just go watch?
No, we actually just watched. Oh, okay. But there's actually a couple from St. Louis on the ship or on stage.
Yeah, we had Jay and Melissa on stage the last podcast cruise. Let me just tell you, it's even more fun when you know the people up there that are getting humiliated the entire time.
I would still use that against them. Be like, remember when you guys were on Match Your Mate?
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. Let me just say, Gone in 60 Seconds was the name of the movie. So enough said. All right, let's move on to more entertainment. What else is going on?
We actually did a lot of the trivia. They had different trivia games throughout the ship or throughout the cruise at the O'Gills and at, I can't remember the other, the name of the other bar that they had it at. But they did Disney movie trivia, Disney music trivia, and I can't remember the third one. Oh, I'm sorry, 90s music trivia. So that was a lot of fun. You know, there's probably 15 or 20 people each time doing the trivias, and it got pretty heated at some times.
It does. I've been there.
People are really competitive, and... but it's all in good fun. I think everyone was a winner. We got a few keychains out of it, so that was pretty cool.
It's amazing what people do for keychains and those plastic Mickey medals.
Oh, definitely. It's like, you know, if it was like a Black Friday event, people would be throwing their elbows to get them.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're getting close to the end of the show here. Now, as we wrap this up, though, any special moments that you recall that it's like, you know, this is one of those things that I wasn't expecting that really... is something that's going to stick with us for a very long time, you know, when it comes to going on this cruise. Were there any special surprises, moments, anything like that?
Well, actually, our wait staff surprised us and the other couple we were with on, I think it was the third night. They came out with a special dessert for us for our honeymoon, because it was the other couple's honeymoon as well. And we had no idea that that was coming. And it was, you know, one of the best desserts we ever had. And same with that Palo. They gave us a special dessert for our honeymoon. And, you know, like we said before, the cast members were just so nice. Every single one of them went above and beyond what we ever expected. And, you know, the aqueduct, I didn't expect it to be that much fun, but I probably went on it at least a dozen times.
Oh, man, it's a blast, isn't it? That thing, you don't expect it to be as fun as it is, but it's like, you know, you're going through the tube and you're waving down at everybody below on deck. And, man, in the scenery, again, I mean, I know we've talked about this seven times already, but, man, the scenery from that thing.
Oh, it was perfect. And it was so much fun at night also. I went on it on Sunday night, and they were playing Sunday night football on the Funnel Vision. And I was going down the aqueduct, and I'm thinking, I'm in the middle of the ocean. I see Sunday night football on, and I'm on the aqueduct. This is pretty much the best night ever.
Oh, I'm telling you, I know. And, you know, in general, I will say that there's something about being on deck on those ships at night. I love it because, like, the whole ship takes on a whole nother feeling at night. And they have these beautiful lights, you know, on the aqueduct and on the ship itself. And, you know, I just love it because, especially when we sail with a bunch of friends, the pizza parlors open in the back of the ship. You can go get a burger and get pizza. Who cares? You're on a cruise, you know, who cares? It's 11:30 at night. Jump in the pool, watch Funnel Vision. It is like, it's just, it's un. I mean, I know folks have sailed understand what I'm saying, but if you haven't sailed, it's just, you just like, you have the biggest grin on your face, you know, knowing it's 11 o'clock at night. I can be in my swimming trunks. I can be eating pizza. I can watch, like you said, Sunday night football. I've watched, you know, NBA finals on there. World Cup was on one year. It is truly an amazing thing. And those ships are a lot of fun at night. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different experience. And actually, in the morning, too, is a whole different experience also, because there's hardly anybody up on the deck.
Yeah, good
6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, get up early a couple of days of your cruise, because like you said, you can get great pictures of the ship and of sunrise. Oh. And it is absolutely peaceful. It's amazing. Like, where are all these people? Because, you know, there's a lot of people on the ship. They were there last night, but
right,
nobody gets up early on a cruise.
And you know, oddly enough, too, it's like at night, you know, like you said, at 11 o'clock at night, you'd think it would be more busy, but there's not many people out there at night. It's like they're all, you know, enjoying everything else on the ship. But it's just nice to walk around it. You know, I got a lot of pictures at night going around up top on the decks.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a great time, and we really appreciate you stopping in here, you know, busy Christmas week. And congratulations to you and Kelly. And, you know, you're going to have to go back on like your fifth anniversary or something like that, and we'll have to do this again.
Oh, definitely. We will. I'll keep better notes next time, and we will definitely do another trip report. This was a lot of fun.
All right. I appreciate it, Dan. And Merry Christmas to you and Kelly. And have a safe holiday and a happy new year.
Same to you. And M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. All right. Let's win that. Let's win that Citrus Bowl this year.
That's right.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. So when you're headed down to Walt Disney World or out on the Disney Cruise Line, and even if you're looking for that last minute gift for one of your online friends or somebody in your friends or family there, $12.95 and an email address, and you're going to make a whole family happy on their next Disney vacation. So drop by touringplans.com today and support the folks who support us. Don't forget, Merry Mouse Radio is playing the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music with that holiday stuff you know and love. And also on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, all 48 hours, nothing but holiday audio from Walt Disney World, so that it can be the soundtrack of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day for you and your family. Again, just check it out over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, you know, we're going to be back again on Wednesday, even though it's Christmas Eve. You know, we're not taking a day off. We love talking with you guys. So tune in on Christmas Eve. Make sure that you're enjoying this greatest time of the year with your friends and family. And whatever you do out there, stay safe and enjoy this week. So for Dan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Stay safe and have a lot of fun this week. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.